The question today is, what does the Bible say about being a soul winner? The word soul winner has been used in many of our churches in this day and time to be as a number one word in the Bible. In other words, you'd think that that's all there is in the Bible about winning souls, being a soul winner. And I've heard people who doubted their salvation or really didn't doubt. I remember one time a boy telling his former pastor he was lost. And as he told him that, the man looked at him, pointed his finger at him. I remember seeing him, and he said, "What you need to do is you need to get out and win souls." In other words, get busy and get this doubt off of you. Well, that's not what it's all about. You realize that winning souls is not so much in the Bible as some people think it is. What does the Bible say about winning souls? Only one place in the Bible where the words "win a souls" is there. And here it says in Proverbs 11:30, it said, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Now, what that word "winneth" means is to influence or persuade. In other words, he's saying, if you're wise, if you persuade men in the right direction, if you'll persuade them and influence them for God, influence them to seek God, influence them to do right, to walk in the narrow way that leads to the straight gate, whatever it might be. And what does that involve? Well, basically, it involves being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the word "witness" is something that's used more than once than in the Bible. And in fact, the Bible is talking about persuading souls. Talking about the judgment seat we're going to have to stand before and give an account. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10, it's talking about all saints going to have to stand there. And then it says that after we know that we're going to be judged, what we've done at the judgment seat, only the saved will be there. But it said in verse 11 of chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Well, in other words, knowing the terror of the Lord. Paul called the judgment seat of Christ a terror. In other words, it's going to cause great fear. It's not going to be a Sunday school picnic, no bubblegum popping there. But knowing that we've wasted our influence and our time, he said, if we knew the terror of the Lord, if we knew what the judgment seat was going to be like, we would persuade men. And that's what the word "winneth" means, to persuade men. And basically, that's what the word "witness" means. And the Bible tells us to be a witness in several places. And one place is, of course, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 8, which is basically a great one of the times the Great Commission is mentioned here, as Dr. Luke wrote this down in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. As Jesus said this, as he's about ready to ascend back into heaven, he said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Now, what it amounts to, they'd asked the question and said, in verse number 7, in other words, they'd ask and said, when's all this going to come to pass? And the Lord told them in verse 7, "It's not for you to know the times or the season which the Lord hath put in his own power. But," there's your contrast, "ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And that would be on the day of Pentecost, when, of course, the Holy Ghost would come upon them. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He said, you're going to be a witness of me. Now, a witness is one who gives a first-hand detailed account of something that he has experienced. It's a testimony, but he witnesses of what he has experienced. Broken down about the work of Holy Ghost conviction that brought him to the end of himself, that brought him to the place to where he repented of sin and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. You see, that's something that happened to you. Anybody can do that. "But I don't know all the Bible," you say. Well, you don't have to know all the Bible. Nobody knows all the Bible. But you know what happens to you. You know what you've experienced. You know what the work of God done in your heart, if you had one done. That's the problem today. Too many have never had a work of God done in their heart, and they are not a witness like they should be. And as a result, and by the way, you witness with your life as much as your lip. In fact, if your life does not match your lip, you just might as well to keep your mouth shut, because it's not going to do any good. And yet most preachers and most churches will try to get you out on Thursday night visitation, go door to door, and you go soul winning. "We're going to go soul winning, soul winning, soul winning." And that's not a Bible term. The Bible term is to be a witness. And so I know it says he that winneth souls is wise, but that means to influence. and be what the Lord would have them to be. Now, these who believe that you've got to go soul winning, they believe you've got to tell everybody you meet about the Lord Jesus. And what they're really, they're not worried about you so much as sharing with them what happened to you or some kind of a canned plan. They work a canned plan is what they do. They use the Romans road. And listen, folks, the Roman road will not work till you've been on the Damascus road of Holy Ghost conviction. It's not some scripture. It's not being affirmative and saying yes to a group of questions and do you want to be saved or you're a sinner and that type of thing. Now will you call and that type of thing. Listen, it's not raise your hand, repeat after me. That's not soul winning. That's not being a witness. The soul winners of today are unscriptural in their actions and attitude because they're practicing easy believism, and that's not of God, and God's nowhere about it. They're like the Pharisees, where Jesus condemned them in Matthew chapter 23, when he said, woe, many times there, unto the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and whatnot, and the hypocrites. But he said this in verse number 13, but woe unto you, scribes, Matthew 23, verse 13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, for pretense make long prayer, therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you've made him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. In other words, that's what's happening in most of our soul-winning adventures today. Sorry to say that's what's happening with most of our missionaries today. They go out with some kind of a canned plan, and they compass land and sea, and they make a proselyte, somebody to follow them, a word-only experience. They leave out the work of the Holy Ghost conviction, or they short-circuit the work of the Holy Ghost conviction. They do not allow God to bring them to the place of where He grants them repentance, and He produces faith in them so that they can obey the gospel and be saved, because they've been taught that what you have to do is to be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. And speak to everybody you come to. But now, Paul would not have been a good soul winner according to today's terminology. Because in Acts chapter 16, verse number 6, it speaks this, since recorded. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, the Holy Ghost forbid them to go to Asia. Now, later they went to Asia, but it wasn't time yet. You see, many people out soul winning go to people's houses before it's time to go, before the preparatory work has been done in their hearts by the Holy Ghost, before they've obeyed any kind of lie, before they're receptive of the things of God. And as a result, they turn them off, and some of them will not even darken the doors of the church. But and it also said in verse 7 of Acts 16, after they were come to Mysia, they're swayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, wouldn't let them go. And they passed in by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And when he got over there, of course, the first one to be saved was a woman who the Lord opened her heart, because you can't open your own heart, and that was Lydia in verse number 14. And she listened to what Paul had to preach to them. So you see, the Lord had somebody ready, and He wanted them to go to that someone. And when the power was upon them, there was witnesses wherever God wanted them to be. But they couldn't just go anywhere, and neither can you. You're no different from Paul in that sense. You need to go where the Lord leads you and where the door's open for you to go. And to go anywhere else will create more problems than it'll do good. I've seen many people who use a casket for a time to so-called soul win. Because of an hour of bereavement, people are soft and tender. And they get people to crying, and they get them to repeat a prayer after them and lead them in front of the casket to the Lord. And then tell them, now you're saved. Listen, if they've not had a completed work of Holy Ghost conviction done, they're not saved. And I've experienced my own self times whenever people have told me, when I looked up some former members and they said, well, I knew if I didn't join the church, I would never get home to eat dinner. I mean, they'd sung 27 verses of Just As I Am in some church somewhere, and people have joined and made professions and never come back, never darkened the door. And what we're doing today is making tares. We're not to be making tares. We're to be witnesses. And that's to tell what the Lord's done for us. And you can do that. What He's done to us and in us and through us. And witness by your life. let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible said, your light is your life. It letting Christ shine through you in your actions and in the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, which comes out in your being a witness in life, and then you can witness by lip, and it matches it. So therefore, you need. What does the Bible have to say about being a soul winner? Well, it doesn't say a whole lot about being a soul winner, but it says a whole lot about being a witness. In other words, to go teach and to preach. In other words, the Great Commission in Matthew says to go make disciples is really what it says there. And the only way you can do that is to tell them what the Lord's done for you and let the Lord do a work in their heart. But in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, 18, it says, 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In other words, that word teach is, and by the way, involved in that is preaching as well. Some people say, well, you've got to be a preacher. Well, teaching, Jesus taught as much as he preached. And so you need to teach, you need to preach, you need to, like in the day of Nehemiah, the Levites gave understanding of the word. You need to break it down and give understanding and let God take that word and prick their heart so that they may get under conviction and realize they're lost and need to be saved. You need to be a witness. And therefore, he said, go and teach all nations. That's to be a witness to them. And then, of course, you baptize them and then teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And so that word, first word teach, means to disciple and make disciples out of them. And that's only the Lord can really do that. But you're a human instrument that God uses. Because the Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord. And I believe that. But he also said, that's Romans 10:13, said they shall be saved. But he also said in 1 Corinthians 12:3, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It takes a work of the Holy Ghost for man to call on Jesus as his Lord from the heart. And that's Lordship salvation, by the way. But then the next verse said, how can they call on him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? And God has sent every one of us to be a proclaimer, heralding forth the message. Sure, the preachers preach the word in a formal setting. But every person is to proclaim, be a witness and tell what the Lord's done for him. And that is proclaiming, heralding forth the grace of God, the goodness of God, and what the Lord has done for them. And that persuades men. And in that sense, he's winning souls and he's wise to do so. And therefore, he'll influence men and not have to have empty-handed stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Paul said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. May the Lord help us to see it's not being a soul winner. As one preacher said one day, some people's Bible's just about a quarter of an inch thick. That's that little book that some famous preacher put out, Let's Go Soul Winning with So-and-So. Folks, that's not what the Bible says about being a soul winner. It's being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, telling what the Lord has done for you, and that's good enough. And God can use that to speak to others' heart and cause them to glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, when he visits them, they'll be saved whenever those things come to pass. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.